You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. From the arrival of U.S. support troops in 1961 to the fall of Saigon, April 30th, 1975, the Vietnam War remains as one of the most painful chapters in our history.
I think the Vietnam War drove a stake right into the heart of America. Unfortunately, we've never moved really far away from that, and we never recovered.
That is from the latest work from Ken Burns, The Vietnam War. It's a 10-part, 18-hour documentary film series from Burns and co-director Lynn Novick, airing this coming September on PBS. Ken Burns will be in Ann Arbor this Wednesday, April 19th at 7:30 p.m. at the Michigan Theater. He will preview and discuss the Vietnam War. He's with us now, and it is always a pleasure to say, Ken Burns, welcome back to Stateside.
It's great to be back on. Thank you, Cindy.
You say this is your most ambitious project to date. How so, Ken?
Well, it's hard to say. A lot of these are, you know, you never know whether your first film, which was only an hour long, called Brooklyn Bridge, isn't the toughest, or the Civil War, the first multi-parted thing, or Jazz, which is so technical. But there's something about the Vietnam story which is so difficult to get a hold of. It was as the sample of just one of the people offering an opinion in our film. There are many other opinions that coexist. You get a sense that this was a watershed moment for the United States. And I sort of believe that we caught some virus back then, a kind of virus of disunion and separatism that we experience today. The disease has only gotten worse. And our thought is if we could go back and unpack what really happened, benefit from everything we've learned in the subsequent decades since the end of it, since that retreat in April of 75 off the rooftops of Saigon, whether we might be able to help us today understand a little bit. It's almost as if the film is the vaccine that helps you get over the disease. But, you know, our involvement goes well before those advisors in 61. We were sending advisors in the mid-50s and Truman and even just at the last days of the Roosevelt administration in 45 was dealing with the Viet Minh and the Vietnam question. And it even goes back before that with Vietnamese approaching President Wilson at the end of World War One, trying to get better terms and hoping that the United States will support their independence move. It's just a fascinating story. It's like a complex novel with lots of different characters. You'll meet over 100 people, most of them you've never heard of. You'll get to know Truman and Eisenhower and Kennedy, particularly Kennedy and Johnson and Nixon, in ways that I don't think ever have before.
I think about your earlier work, taking us into the heart of the Civil War, which, of course, lasted from 1861 to 1865, and then World War II for America that went from December 41 to August 45. So between 4 and 5 years of real fighting. And here we're talking about this war, long, long years of war, and you're bringing us the story at a time that our nation has been fighting in the Middle East, you know, going back to 2001. Do you think these protracted wars affect our country differently than those 4 and 5 year huge conflicts?
Of course they do. And I think Vietnam is, you know, one of those things that it doesn't really have to do anything with how long it is, but the kind of war it is. The Civil War ended slavery and united the country. World War II, obviously the most important event in world history, you know, ended militarism and fascism and did what it did. But you struggle to find in Vietnam and the recent wars the kind of redeeming value. It's more shadowy. It's more asymmetrical. We're not entirely sure at home whether we're for it or against it. The decisions that are made are based more on domestic political considerations than on the kind of larger geopolitical truths that an attack on Pearl Harbor or an invasion of Normandy or the Battle of Gettysburg might represent. And so I think that we're in a vague, you know, area of gray with the contemporary wars, and the Vietnam seems to be the first of those for us, and it's therefore hugely instructive. Now, it's really important to understand that my job is just to tell the story. My job is just to be the umpire, to call balls and strikes, to allow many different points of view to coexist within the same program, that unlike cable TV, we're not about scoring points or adhering to some political point of view, but to make that happen in a thoughtful and, I hope, deeply emotional way. So my advice to anyone who's watching it is, first, you have my profound thanks for dedicating time to this, but watch with somebody that you love and watch with an open mind, because as someone who thought he knew about Vietnam, I realized almost early on, 10 years ago, I knew nothing. I've been working on this for more than a decade, and that there is so much to understand about this war that we've never understood, and that we can benefit from all that we've learned over the last 45 years of not just scholarship, but talking to veterans and finding out what they did and talking to folks involved in policy and finding out what they did and being able to interview, you know, the opposing side, mm-hmm. the Viet Cong guerrillas and the North Vietnamese soldiers, and also not neglecting, which we seem to always do, the South Vietnamese perspective, the civilians and the diplomats and the government workers and the soldiers there, who we tended to dismiss and say that they didn't really fight bravely, when in fact we've got a scene that will prove exactly the opposite.
Well, I think about the fact that unlike World War II and the Civil War, you are telling a story of something that you remember. You lived through this. You grew up partly in Ann Arbor. You were at Pioneer High School. And at the time of the Vietnam War, as we all know, Ann Arbor was a hotbed of anti-war activities, some of them peaceful and some of them not. So I'm wondering, as you put this together, how did you frame that in the context of incidents like the June 69 bombing of the ROTC building on the U of M campus? How did that shape your understanding of the war?
Well, you know, it's funny. Now I don't recognize the person who thought arrogantly that he knew everything about it. The first teach-in about the Vietnam War occurred in Ann Arbor in March of 65. It started with professors in the anthropology department. My father was a professor in the anthropology department, but my mom was dying of cancer. She died the next month. I was 11 years old. There's very little. I then, you know, as you said, went through high school there and watched that all unfold, and I sort of came in with the cocky swagger of someone who would go, oh, yeah, I get this, and then almost, I don't really remember what I knew now, because it was all the more complicated by what was happening. And when you then charge yourself, as a filmmaker must, with representing diverse points of view that you may not agree with personally, but who cares about that? That's not, I don't care. I'm an umpire. You know, I may be secretly rooting for the Tigers, but I've still got to call you out and the game over and the other team wins. So, you know, it's funny. My molecules have been completely rearranged by the process of working on this film in very good ways.
And your co-director, Lynn Novick, says we as a country are ready to have a conversation about the war. Why is that? Why are we ready?
Well, I hope we're ready. I think that, you know, whatever happened back then caused the divisions that we experience today, and I don't need to go into them, and we're not addressing any of the contemporary problems except, you know, obliquely, as the gentleman that you cited. It was a incredibly heroic Army man who we interviewed. Phil Joya is his name. And other people who had opposite views, that the Vietnam War actually brought out the best in us, because it was the first time ever a sort of civilian population had essentially changed its opinion and got a government out of a war based on that kind of thing. So there's lots of different points of view that are expressed in that. But you want to be able to say that how we are right now is untenable. And as someone who wrote, who made a film about the Civil War, it's hugely important that we not go back there again. So the question is, what can Vietnam teach us about how we are right now? And I think, as Lynn was trying to say, it's immense. It's limitless in our possibilities if we're willing to stop and look. If we just want to retreat to our own self-serving news source, then, you know, this will be a very controversial film, but only among the people who don't watch it. You know,
yes.
We live in a culture where people feel no problem about reviewing books they've never read and don't plan to read, or reviewing films they've never seen and don't plan to see. And that's a sad commentary on those divisions. But this is a controversial subject. It's not a controversial film if you watch it. And that's what I hope Americans will do. And maybe we can begin to not only unpack what happened, but we can begin to see that neighbor, whose political sign I don't like, is me as well. and that, as we already know, in the event of emergency, we're the first people over there, regardless of what the political sign in their yard is. And that's super, super important. And when we get there, then we have a way of diffusing a lot of what makes this toxicity that we experience today so, you know, seemingly fatal.
Ken Burns' latest documentary, The Vietnam War, will be airing this September on PBS. But Ken will be back home in Ann Arbor this Wednesday at 7:30 for an event at the Michigan Theater, previewing the film, talking about his work. And you can get tickets by going to the Detroit Public Television website, dptv.org/Vietnam. You can get also details on future screenings that will be happening around Southeast Michigan between now and when it airs on PBS this September. Ken Burns, always a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so very much.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.